And I'm going to read down to verse number 8, I think it is. Let me see here. All right. Acts 21. By the way, did anybody take my little Chicago Bear beanie from the pulpit? Okay, he still should be there. G2 took it. Hold them hostage. Amen. All right. Acts 21, and we're going to read verse 4. And no, we already covered that. So we're going to read down to verse number 7. 7 through 10. 7 through 10. All right, everybody there? Anybody there? Everybody there say amen. All right. Let's read verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Here we go. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus. Father, as we continue retracing Paul's journey back to Jerusalem, help us once again to glean a blessing from your word, Lord, and to understand a little bit more about the planting of churches here in the New Testament. And Lord, the missionary journey, the things that missionaries come into contact with, and Lord, just understanding a little bit more of how the New Testament epistles are put together from the stops that Paul is making along the way. May it instruct us tonight, lead us, Lord, and may we leave differently than when we came in. Lord, sit myself down that you may stand up through the Spirit's power and preach through me the truths that we need to see tonight. We thank you and love you, Lord. Speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, we've covered this journey so far, amen. And you think about a journey that you would have. What might mark one of your journeys? Maybe a breakdown, maybe a setback, maybe all the money you spent on junk food along the way, amen, pork rinds and M&Ms and things like that. Maybe the times that you went and you had to get gas, amen, or maybe some stranger that you met on the way. Think about one of your most notable trips, and what is that notable trip all about? Was it the people? Was it the places? Was it the things that you did? Because here in Paul's epistle here, on this epistle, the Acts of the Apostles, Paul is really annotating the people and the places that he went to. I don't know about you, anytime I travel with my children, it's always an adventure. Amen. Normally, you go to the restroom, you use the restroom, and everybody goes down the road. About 10 minutes later, what do you hear, Pastor White? I got to go to the bathroom. We just went 10 minutes ago. Well, I didn't have to go bad then. Didn't have to go bad then? Did we not say everybody use the bathroom if you don't try to use it? That we normally say, Pastor White. And so the trips that we take normally are marked by adventures with my children. I'm hearing one thing or another, and I'm looking through my back rear view mirror trying to see the culprit. And I see nothing. Everybody looks like little angels. And I know they're not. So think about the trip that you have made. Not saying y'all devils either, but anyway. The trips that you have made normally are eventful trips. And Paul's trip is no different. He's meeting some people along the way, and he's finding disciples. We called verses 1 through 3, finding the way to Jerusalem, how we saw the different places he went through, down through verse number 14. And then finding disciples on the way. We found disciples in Tyre in verse number 4. He stayed there 7 days. We saw the disciples in Tyre were found after he found them. Amen. He had to go and search for them. We also found that they were forward through the Spirit. They began to tell Paul, look, if you go down there, man, this is what's going to happen. You ought not go down there. Now think about it. Somebody told you not to go. Would you still go? And then the next question would be, why would you go? By the way, anything short of I'm firmly convinced that it is God's will may be a mistake. If I'm firmly convinced that this is God's will, then there's not a problem. I told you about starting this church. I was firmly convinced that it was God's will. So nothing was going to stop me. I don't care how bad I hurt. It was going to happen because I was firmly convinced it was the will of God. Amen. Now, if I had any inkling, any doubt, guess what? Maybe somebody else may be right. Maybe I ought not do this. Amen. And so anything short of you being sure this is the will of God, then you need to go and do that. Amen, by the way. These disciples were forward. He had some caution from the people because they spoke to him through the Spirit. There were some consequences that Paul had to deal with. They said, if you go, this is what's going to happen. Then we saw down in verses 5 and 6, the disciples of Tyre bid Paul farewell. The days were finished. The departure of the friends was listed. The devotion of family as they went, the wives and children went with him. And then, dependence on the Father, they prayed. And then we found that disciples were in Ptolemy as well, verse 7. But Paul only spent one day there. Why one day? Many theories could be true, but we do know he was pressed for time and the vessel did not belong to him. And so that could be some reason there. But then on to verse number 8, we found disciples in Caesarea, and that's where we stopped at. And in verse number 8, it was a guy by the name of Philip the Evangelist. Amen. Philip the Evangelist. We met him in chapter number 6. He was one of the seven. We looked at that. Amen. And so in chapter number 6, as he was one of the seven, he was also on to Samaria. Go back there real quick and we'll just review that. He was one of the seven on to Samaria. Why is it important to go back and see what happened with him the first time? Anybody have a clue? Pretty obvious. To see what happened to him the first time. Amen. That's what therefores are there. You got to go back and see what it's there for. Amen. And so we do know that he was, first of all, he was a qualified preacher. Amen. Acts chapter 6, notice down there in the, Acts chapter number 8 and verse 4, 8:4, because this is the same Philip that was in chapter number 6, on to Samaria. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then who? Philip went down to the city of where? Samaria, and did what? Preach Christ unto them. By the way, if you're going to go somewhere, you might as well go and preach Christ. Amen. By the way, did the Samaritans like the Jews? No. Was there a waiting list to go to Samaria and preach the gospel? No. Should there have been? Yes. What did Jesus say? Go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations. What did he say in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? Ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and into what? Samaria and to the uttermost parts. So there should have been a waiting list to get into Samaria. They should have said Judea is taken care of, Jerusalem taken care of. All right, who's going to Samaria? And I'm sure everybody went like this. Philip said, I don't mind going to Samaria. Amen. By the way, would you mind going into the ghetto? Would you mind going into the slums? Would you mind going into the drug infested areas? Would you mind going into the gangbang areas? And by the way, if you're not full of the Spirit of God, if you're not led of God, I wouldn't go. Because you might do more damage than good. You say, but I'm being obedient to the Spirit. Hey, Bible says, well, if it's not of faith, it's sin. So you need to go in faith, believing God is able to do what he wants to do through you. Otherwise, leave it to somebody else. Amen. You say, am I supposed to be disobedient to God? He didn't call everybody to go to slums. Just like he didn't call y'all to go to Africa. What y'all do is still sitting here. Y'all should be in Africa. He doesn't call everybody to Africa. He doesn't call everybody to Siberia. Doesn't call everybody to Mongolia. Doesn't call everybody to Joliet. I'm not listening for a voice either. Amen. He doesn't call everybody to North Carolina. Somebody's got to go, though. Everybody's not called to Indiana. Amen, Brother Neil. You grew up in Indiana, right? Amen. Not everybody's called to go back there. Amen. Well, Brother Neil is from there, so he should go back. He should be the first one to sign up. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So Samaria, Philip went down here and preached Christ unto them, but he didn't stay in Samaria. Go down to chapter number 8. And notice towards the end here in the verse number 40. Matter of fact, he didn't stay there. Where were we at here? Where are you going? Verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the where? The south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto where? Gaza, which is desert. How many want to sign up and go to desert? You're in the military, it's automatic. You go to desert. Amen. You go to Saudi Arabia, one of these other places. You go set up a tent. You go to the desert with no cell phone, Joshua. No Wii. No Xbox. Y or Z box either. Amen. Verse 27, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Would Philip go? Went the opposite way? No. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And music to my ears, everybody wants to hear this. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And we would all say, I'm a man, I can help guide you. Think about it. If somebody asked you that question, what would you say? How can I understand this? If somebody helped me, would you be able to help him? Would you be able to take your Bible and say, oh, I know exactly what that's talking about? By the way, let me give you some help. Even if you don't know what that's talking about, you can say, you know what, I'm not sure what that says, but I know what John 3:16 said. If you don't know it, give them what you do know. If you know you're saved, tell them how to get saved. Amen. No, don't sit there, well, I don't know what that means, and close the book, say, no, you know, I don't know that. I'll find the answer, but let me tell you what I do know. I do know February 3rd, 1991, I met Jesus. I'm saved. I've been born again. Hallelujah, sir. Have you been born again? And he said, hey, how can I accept somebody guide me? Talks about the place of the scripture, verse 32, which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Amen. Come down to verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. Hey, what they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Amen. So he preached unto him Jesus. He got baptized. And then notice verse number 40. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to where? Caesarea. That's where we find him in Acts chapter 21. Is that where he stayed? We don't know. By the way, I came here in 1984 to Tucson, Arizona. Now it's 2018. Was I here the whole time, Pastor White? No. So we don't know if he stayed there from this time until the time of the writing of our text. We do know he went there and he is there now. I was here from 1984 to 88. I went over to Europe in 1988 and came back in 1999. The dreaded 1999, when all the computers were supposed to stop. And the world was going to come to a standstill. And it was going to be the end of the world. And the purple rain was going to fall down. And the Prince song in 1999 was supposed to come true. And guess what? It didn't. And guess what? Life still went on. Guess what? Computers still worked. Guess what? Nation didn't shut down. Probably should have. Amen, but it didn't. Amen. So we come back here, and he is in Caesarea now, and Paul is meeting Philip. We don't know if it's for the first time, but I would venture to say it probably is for the first time. And so Philip the evangelist is there. He's one of the seven. He went on to Samaria, then on to Caesarea. Paul abode with him many days. In verse number 10, it says many days there. We don't know exactly how many, but we do know it was many days. Now, we left off talking about his girls. Amen. Verse 9. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And I told you I was going to open up a can of worms. Philip's daughters, four daughters that he had there, their ages are not listed. But we do know what is listed. I have this question. Did they minister with Philip? He's called an evangelist. Were they like his sidekicks? Were they on the side? Yeah, get it, Dad. Were they his amen corner? Bible doesn't say. Their occupation is not listed. Their ages aren't listed. The Bible just says he had four daughters there. And it says, which did prophesy. It seems these daughters were not spoiled away from the ministry of their father's evangelism. Oftentimes, if you get a surrendered, sold-out family, a man and a wife, sometimes their children don't want to follow in their footsteps. And it's tragic, but it does happen. Amen? And you can't fault the parent for that. Amen? Sometimes children just have to make their own decisions. Amen? If they don't choose God to be their God for themselves, then guess what? Not a whole lot that the parents can do. Last time I checked, Samson's father and mother were pretty godly. Notice what happened to Samson. Amen. And so we really don't know much about what's going on here, but let me tell you what we do know. Amen. By the way, at times our children don't want to follow our God, and we cannot change that. The only thing that we can do is live for God ourselves, and we can love God ourselves. And I like to keep a very light attitude, my children. The ministry is serious enough. I pick with them and I poke with them. We were driving home today. I gave Brother Duffy a ride, and they were out there, and I said, all right, you guys can eat fries in my back seat. Now, you know that's a no-no. I said, whatever you spill, you're going to lick it up. And Brother Duffy just thought that was hilarious. And I said, not only that, you're going to lick my whole car, except the tires. And, you know, and they know I play with them like that. Some of y'all are like, oh, you said that? They know I'm not serious about that. They know I'm serious about not spilling nothing, though. They know I'm serious about that. And I like to have fun with my children and keep it light. Wow, the ministry is serious enough. It is serious enough. And so these daughters here obviously are involved in the ministry as much as or in a different way that Philip was being the evangelist. Amen. However, we cannot read in the scripture more than is revealed. Now, keep this in mind. The times in which they lived, this day and age was different than the day and age which we live. The day and age which we live is the age of the people's rights. Everybody's right. And ironically, nobody seems to be wrong. Now, how can everybody be right and nobody be wrong? So obviously, there is a problem with our society today. We live in an age of the people's rights. Everyone is right. There is no wrong. Last time I checked, Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And so God is true. So let's talk about some things that we do know. Amen. Are these women preachers? Question mark. Are they women preachers? Are they prophesying in the church? There's a couple things you have to know right now. Amen. And, well, let's do this here. Let's go to this sheet here. I gave you guys an outline. And in the outline, let me read you something that is very, very noteworthy in paragraph 2 and 3. It says this. It says, the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit describes what was done through the disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say this. As we begin reading the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church, you will notice some things that only took place in this book. Okay, I'm under contents right now. That's because the book of Acts is a transition book. Transitioning from the law. I'm reading from the wrong one. Amen. All right, it's on this side. I was reading from the wrong side. I'm sorry. All right, there's a fine print size where you need glasses to see it. And then there's another one. All right, it's on the other one. Amen. All right, notice what it says here, paragraph 2. That's because the book of Acts is a transition book, transitioning from the law to grace, from an outward law to an inward leading, from the temple to the church, from the priest to the pastor, from the Sabbath or Saturday to Sunday, etc. But notice that first paragraph at the end. You will notice some things only took place in this book. Okay? Certain things only took place in this book. So are they women preachers? Are they prophesying in the church? Let's answer the prophesying question first. The word prophesy there that's used actually has a double or a dual meaning. Prophesy means to foretell. That means to predict the future. Or it also means to forthtell. Forthtell is telling forth that which has already been told. I am forthtelling right now. I'm telling you that which was already told. Amen. So the word prophesy has a dual meaning. Foretell means to tell it before it occurs or to predict it. Amen. Much like the apostles did, much like they did over here a couple of verses up where they said, if you go down there, this is what's going to happen. Much like Agabus is going to do in a few minutes. But also foretell means to tell forth truth that's already known. All right. Y'all got those two words down? Foretell and forthtell. Do we need to turn the fan on back in the back? Are y'all good? Yes, okay. High, low, medium, amen. I'm super high. Amen. Oops. Sorry. All right, there we go. So the back one's on. All right, so prophesy. So when you look at verse number 9, the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. It has a dual meaning there. It means to foretell or to predict the future. It also means to foretell. It means to tell forth truth already known. Now, God may have used these daughters for both. We don't know. He may have used them for both, to foretell or to tell forth. However, keep in mind that most of the New Testament church polity was not yet set in order. When did most of the New Testament church polity get set in order? When Paul sent back letters or epistles to the churches. That's when most of their polity was set in motion. Couple things we already do know about this time. It's a transition book, and the times were different. Was it a male or a female dominated society back then? Masculine dominated society. Did women have the place of leadership back in those days? They did not. They did not. So we do know that much. So the first question, prophesying, what did they do? Did they foretell or foretell? We don't know. They could have done both. But then we've got to answer the second question. Are they women preachers in the church? Are they women preachers in the church? If the Bible clearly says that they were prophesying, they did prophesy, notice it doesn't give you a location. So what can we assume? You don't want to assume too much from the book of Acts. But we can assume this, that they did foretell something. Where did Philip the dad come from? Acts chapter 6. So what did Philip most likely have? The Great Commission. And what do we know about the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and teach who? All nations. What do we know about Mark 16, 15? Go ye therefore and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. So we do know Philip the evangelist had that with him enough. Did his daughters probably have that as well? More than likely, yes. Okay? So are they women preachers in the church? Little is known of the capacity in which they prophesy because the Bible is silent on there. So we don't want to read into it, but we don't want to neglect either. However, we do know later Paul would write instructions for the church's own order. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 40, or 1440. 1440. Because again, you don't want to take something out of a transitional book and make a doctrine out of it. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Because a lot of folks will go there and say, see, these daughters of Philip, they prophesied, but we don't know in what capacity. Well, see, they were women preachers. We don't know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the things of church order were set. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Notice what he says, let all things be done how? Decently in order. Now, we know this was written back to the church at Corinth. Why was that written? Because they were not doing things decently in order. And so Paul said, this has to be done decently and in order. Amen. Let me see something here. We do know this. All right. And women speaking in the church as the infant churches began to mature was something that was not known. Was not known. Unless it was something that was being done in error. In error. All right, here, let me see to get my reference here right. All right, go to verse number 33 in chapter 14. And notice what it says there. He says, for God is not the author of what? Confusion, but of what? Peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep what? Silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to what? Speak, but they are commanded to be under what? Obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak where? In church. So we don't, he would write later and give the credentials on women speaking in the church. At this present time, that was not documented, so they didn't have that precedent. But it was still a male-dominated society. So do you think they would get up and speak? Probably not. Probably not. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12. Say, preacher, are you against women preachers? I'm not against anybody preaching, amen. And it almost mirrors the other area there, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. Verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in what? Silence with all subjection. We looked at this last week, but I suffer not a woman to what? To teach, nor to usurp authority over the who? The man, but to be in silence. We looked at the wise that are there in verses 13, 14, and 15. So given what Paul would send to the churches and to Timothy later, I don't think that the daughters did what you and I would call being women preachers. Did they speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and tell the future? It is quite possible. We don't know. the New Testament church was still being formed, that capacity may have been utilized. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It's silent, but it does give us some guidelines and some parameters as to Paul's later leading and guiding in this area. Given the Middle Eastern mentality of male leadership, it is unlikely they led in speaking or pastoring in the church. Why? Most of the men in that time were not going to listen to a female. I'm sorry, ladies, it's just the way it was back then. They weren't going to do it. And woe be it unto you if you were seen being dictated to your wife to do a certain thing. That was shameful back in those days. So given the Middle Eastern mentality and the makeup of the leadership, it's unlikely they led in pastoring in church. However, it is very likely they spoke on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ by the way of a testimony, possibly, by witnessing and sharing of the gospel. Remember, their father was an evangelist. So they probably knew much about the word of God and the God of the word. I'm sure they knew quite a bit. Mark 16, 15, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. By the way, go back over there, Mark 16, 15. Show you this real quick. Mark 16, 15. And we covered that last week. And, you know, again, I have nothing against ladies. And I believe there's some gifted ladies out there. But I do not believe that their place is to pastor the church, Mark 16, 15. And notice what he says there. Go, and he said unto them, go ye in all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Can a woman preach under the guidance of that verse? Yes, because what is she preaching? The gospel. Is she pastoring? No, there is a difference. There is a difference. Anyone can preach because the word preach there means to herald or to proclaim, or to publish, or to make known like a public crier. Remember back in the days, we all see those television commercials back in the days. Hear ye, hear ye. And they give an announcement. That's a public crier. His job was to go out and to announce to everybody what was going on. By the way, when Jesus came, guess what that was? The angels announced it or published it. Same basic concept. So we do know that they probably were proclaiming the gospel and giving out the gospel because that they could do. They could do that to anybody, anywhere, at all times, but they could not or were not supposed to pastor the church. And again, I made this comment last week, and I think a lot of ladies confuse their gift of shepherding with the office of the pastor. There are a lot of gifted ladies that have the gift of shepherding, and they have the shepherding capability. I have no doubt that Joyce Meyer probably has the gift of shepherding. She's out of her element, though, when she pastors men. And I don't bite my tongue when I say it. She's out of her element when she usurps the authority with men. Is she a gifted shepherd? I have no doubt that she has that ability. But she is not supposed to pastor men. Now, can she say some good stuff? Yes, she can say some good stuff. Amen. Now, I am convinced that Joel Osteen is a shyster. I'm convinced of that. I won't make no beans about that. Amen. But I'm convinced that she has some type of a gift. Why? She has a huge following of ladies and men. Does that make it right? No. No. No more than it made Jesse James an outlaw right to do what he did. No more than it made Robin Hood right for what he did. Robin the rich, give to the poor. It's still theft. It's still stealing. But I'm robbing from the rich. They can afford it. Let somebody rob you and see how you feel. Amen. So when you look at this, what was their capacity? I don't know, but we do know this. They probably did preach the gospel. Go back to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, so Paul here is with Philip, and Philip has these three girls here, and they are prophesying. The Bible is clear about that. They did prophesy. Verse 10 says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. So not only do we have these disciples at Caesarea, but whilst they're there, disciples from Judea come down. Agabus the prophet by name. Amen. And let's notice his prophecy before here. This is going to be the last thing that we see. Acts chapter 11 and verse 28. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 28. By the way, have we seen Agabus before? Yes. We saw him in Acts chapter 11 and verse 28. Why are we going back here again to see what he was known for before? Amen. Just like we saw Philip. By the way, we saw Philip before. Acts chapter 11. And notice his prophecy before. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 28. Matter of fact, let's go up to verse 26. When he had found him, that's Barnabas seeking after Paul, When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were called Christians first, where? In Antioch. And in these days came prophets from where? Jerusalem unto where? Antioch. Who's in Antioch? Barnabas and Paul. And in these days, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. So Paul knows Agabus. Why? He's in Antioch. Paul knows him. Paul knows his record. And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit, should be a capital S in your Bibles, that's the Holy Spirit, that there should be great dearth, that's a famine, throughout all the world. That's the known world at that time, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So, is he an accurate prophet? Yes, because it says down there, he predicted this dearth of this famine, and it says, and it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So everybody's going to send some relief down to Jerusalem, help them out in that area. It says, which also they did, and sent it by the elders, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So he is familiar with Agabus. All right, go back over to Acts chapter 21. So we've seen his prophecy before. And his prophecy now, Acts 21, verse number 11. And we'll talk, we're just going to read it, and then we'll talk about it next week. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he had heard these things, both we, that's now Luke, the author now, and they, that's those of Caesarea, of that place, besought him, who's him, that's Paul, not to go up to where? Jerusalem. Same basic scenario that we saw happen at the last place up there over in verse number 4. Notice what it says. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart, for I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying the will of the Lord be done. Agabus is a prophet. Do you think this is going to come true? He's a prophet. It's going to come true. Do you think Paul should have listened to the warning over in verse number 4 to the first crowd that told him not to go? Do you think he should listen to Agabus? If it's the will of God, it's the will of God. And if you're certain it's the will of God, follow through with it. Don't let anyone sway you from what you know is the will of God. If it's God's will for you, but you better make sure it's God's will. Because he's going to suffer. He's going to suffer. Now, if I'm suffering in the will of God for Jesus' sake, hallelujah and praise God. That's okay. I can do that. But if I'm suffering because I was stubborn, didn't want to listen to Agabus or didn't want to listen to the brethren here in verse number 4, then, oh, shame on me. Because I was forewarned. Parents warn children oftentimes. Adults warn other adults. We warn singles. We warn married couples. We warn co-workers. We warn friends. We warn family all the time. But we're not prophets. We can only go by what the Word of God says. Amen. Agabus here is a prophet. He knows what's going to happen. Should Paul turn and run? I don't think he should, because he's convinced that he's right. By the way, they say a man persuaded against his will is of the same mindset still. So he's got to be firmly convinced in his mind that he's right. And so he's going to go down here. Amen. So we see Agabus down here. We'll talk a little bit more about Agabus the next time. But the thing I want to leave you with here is Paul's been warned twice. If you're sure it's the will of God, don't let anyone take you away from it. If homeschooling is for you, don't let anybody talk you out of it. If you are set on a course of occupation, don't let anyone talk you out of it. If God has given you a promise, don't let anyone talk you out of it. If God has given it to you, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Why? The devil would love to sidetrack you. He would like to get you off course. He would like to give you something that's not God's best will. If you're convinced it's God's will, I don't care who it is. Paul said, if an angel come and talk to you, don't listen. Don't listen. If you know it's the will of God, stay the course. Stay the course. Paul said, you're breaking my heart. What? I'll die in Jerusalem. Hey, I know a lot of people try to talk me out of marrying this young lady here. I was like, what? What mean you to break my heart? I'll break your nose. No, I didn't say that. A lot of people gave me reasons why I should. Some of my own relatives don't marry her and gave me some evidence why I shouldn't. Guess what? I was convinced as I could be that this was the woman that I was going to be with for the rest of my life. Plus, I screened her first. And she passed the test. Hey, don't let anybody talk you out of it. If it's God's will, you stay the course. You stay the course, but make sure it's God's will. Make sure you can validate it by the word of God and God's spirit. If you can validate it by God's word and God's spirit, amen, go for it. Paul was convinced that this is where he should go. Agabus couldn't talk him out of it. The disciples there in verse number 4 couldn't talk him out of it. They're in Tyre, and Paul is going to go, and they're just going to say what you and I have to say. Will the Lord be done? God's will be done. Amen. And by the way, folks, his will is going to be done with your cooperation or without your cooperation. Amen. So it's in our best nature to get involved with God's will. Amen. So don't let anybody talk you out of the will of God, but be sure it is the will of God. Get the help of the counsel of others that are trusted friends, those that know the word of God, those that are faithful to God, those that are trusting in God, those that are trusting in the promises. Amen. And bouncing off of them. And then walk in the fullness. Paul is going to go bound in his spirit, but then when it gets to Jerusalem, he'll be bound there as well. But he's not going to have a problem because he's going to be in the center of God's will. Amen. And so wherever you go, wherever it takes you, don't fret. God is there. Amen. Father, thank you so much for Paul, his determination, his steadfastness, Lord, his resolve. No matter what, Lord, thank you for Philip's daughters and Lord, they're prophesying their abilities that you gave them. Lord, we don't know the full capacity, but we do know that, Lord, you used them in a marvelous and miraculous way. And Paul, obviously, maybe could have gotten some guidance from what they were doing and sent letters to the churches as what not to do. We don't know. The Bible is silent there. We do know they spoke. They prophesied, Lord. They either foretold the future events or they told forth that truth that they already knew. Lord, help us to understand that certain things are kept hidden from our eyes, but help us to concentrate and focus on the most important thing, that is the magnifying of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keeping our eyes focused on him who is, being a witness for him who loves us, and Lord, being a gospel sounding board, Lord, for all that hear, like a public crier, preaching the gospel to anyone that will listen. Thank you for the precious souls saved today and the 3 precious souls baptized. Help us to continue to be a witness, Lord, no matter if we have to suffer, Lord, or if we're just going to go out someplace, Lord, and have a great time in what we do. We thank you and love you for what you've given us. Dismiss us with your blessings, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White, come on up. Close us out. Amen. By the way, Brother Neil is preaching a Sunday school next week. Pastor White's got Sunday night next week. It is the end of the month and end of the quarter, too, brother. Do you know that? Amen. End of the quarter.